We've got to take a break. When we come back in just a couple of moments, we'll have the second hour of the Andrew Lawton Show talking about political party financing when we come back with Bob Metz of the Freedom Party of Ontario, and lots of great stuff in the second hour of the show. We are tuned in here. You are tuned in anyway to the Andrew Lawton Show on AM 980. Back in a moment. Welcome back to the Andrew Lawton Show. This is AM 980, London's breaking news leader. I am, as the name would suggest, Andrew Lawton, and it's good to have you tune into the show today. One area that we have had so much discussion about in the last few months, not only federally but also provincially, is electoral financing, the money that politicians and political candidates can receive, and more importantly, how they can receive it. We had access for cash that was a controversy at the federal level. We had ministers in Ontario that were allegedly given fundraising quotas. We've had issues with leaders attending fundraisers, the blurring of the lines between government duties and partisan fundraising duties. And all of this resulted in, at the provincial level, a bill being put forward, Bill 2, that was taking a very broad brush to deal with a problem that could have been handled in a lot more of a nuanced fashion. And I want to talk about this bill with someone who has dealt with the intricacies of Ontario political financing laws, and that is Bob Metz, who is the president and CFO of the Freedom Party of Ontario. Not only does he join me on the show, but in studio, which is always a treat for guests. Bob, thank you so much for coming to the show today. Great to speak with you.
Well, great to be here.
So you've dealt with the bureaucracy, you've dealt with the regulations, the administration.
I'm the CFO for the party. I sign the signatures. I have watched this from the most intricate of detailed application.
And this is something that a lot of people are looking at as being the possible answer to cash for access problems. We've read about it at the provincial level with cabinet ministers being given fundraising quotas in Ontario, and then we've also seen at the federal level Justin Trudeau cavorting with, you know, Chinese billionaires. But the thing that I find to be more concerning about this is people don't realize, especially when we look at, you know, smaller parties, for example, like the Freedom Party or like other parties, where we're talking about, I think, an issue here which has taken a very broad brush to deal with something that I think could have been addressed in a much more nuanced way.
Well, you say it was about cash for access. This act couldn't be further from that. Mm-hmm. The cash for access hasn't been addressed at all, and it's not a small party problem. It's everybody's problem. You know, if I were to name Bill 2, I would call it an official act of contempt and disrespect for the voters. And remember, Bill 2 is a bill to you, to everyone in the province of Ontario. And under the guise of getting rid of all of this access, you know, and influence peddling, what the government has done is forced all Ontario taxpayers to literally pay money to vote, to pay money directly to the political parties that are in the legislature, plus the Green Party, and they've changed the whole sense of the rules of the game. Independent candidates can no longer effectively run in Ontario politics. Political parties who operate on totally voluntary funds, like Freedom Party. We've had our potential voluntary donation base drop from, you know, $99.75 per person down to $2,400 per person. And I got to tell you, $2,400 is less than some people in our party spend on gas mileage, just to do party business. So it's incredibly handicapping. How can we do advertising? And the idea that, and it violates freedom of association. For example, Bill 2 prevents party leaders from attending party fundraisers. That's insanity.
And that's one of the greatest, I guess, selling tools if you're trying to bring people out to a fundraiser, is to have someone there that people are going to want to hear from, which for a lot of people is going to be the leader of the party.
Andrew, please. You know, people have to realize political parties sell influence. That's what they're there to do. And if you cannot access a political party, either by giving them money or just walking in the door and saying hi, then how do you influence them? How can you affect them? That's why I find this thing so disrespectful to the voters of Ontario. I'm being told, essentially, that anyone who gives more than X dollars to the Freedom Party of Ontario is, you know, I'm guilty of influence peddling, or they want something from me. I got nothing to give them. I'm not selling any contracts. I'm selling individual freedom. That's what the party's about, and that's why people give us money.
And this is why I've always thought that these people that want to take money out of politics are looking at it backwards here. I mean, are you able to buy a politician if you really want to and you have enough money and that politician's for sale? Absolutely. But that's not being done through conventional fundraising means. And more importantly, they forget that, like you've just outlined here, people are more likely to give money to a political party if they believe in what it is that that party's doing. It's not about buying it. If I'm an oil lobbyist, for example, and I look to an oil company executive, and I look to a company that has policies that are going to be good for the oil industry, I'm going to want to support them. What's wrong with that? What's dirty about that process?
Nothing's wrong with it. And in fact, many people see the government who may, in fact, have quite legitimate up above the board contracts to deal with that government. Why can they not go and influence certain parties to see how they stand on an issue? Mm-hmm. Will they be supportive? The issue is not about quote-unquote influence peddling per se. It's what you're peddling. If you are having personal gain because of what you're doing in Parliament or in the legislature, that I would call possibly influence peddling, or giving someone a contract that they would otherwise not deserve when you know that another person would have deserved a particular contract. But the government has to do business, and if we can't access our political parties and our MPs and MPPs this way, what is the correct way to do it? What doors are they leaving open, and how do you filter out?
The people that are putting this forward want to eliminate money from politics except for taxpayer subsidies. I mean, that's essentially, and I've heard this especially from people on the far left, that say they don't think donations should be a part anyway. They want the taxpayers to involuntarily bankroll elections. And this is the direction we're headed.
It's not about elections. It's about bankrolling the political parties themselves. They are private associations. A political party has no substance or identity to itself. This is what kills me about all this proportional representation talk, too. What are they talking about making proportional? A political party is a group of people who have a common philosophy, ideal, goal, whatever it might be. That's the only thing that makes them a party. And other than that, we don't vote for parties. We vote for MPs and MPPs when it comes to the legislature and parliament. Parties are irrelevant. So the whole idea of proportionality has no place there.
But in practice, they're not irrelevant. In practice, political parties are machines.
Yes, they're absolutely necessary. I'm not saying that. I'm saying they're convention, though. They're not something that's entitled to its existence by virtue of the fact that someone registers a political party. It's meaningless. Anyone can register a political party. In fact, they watered down the political party registration process since Freedom Party got on the ballot, because we were getting 5% and 6% of the vote, and they needed to water down the ballot. So then they, instead of forcing a party to collect 10,000 signatures, which was a great filter system to keep the parties off the ballot, they opened it up to anyone who just writes a letter, and that's why they've got part of this problem. And it's always done after Freedom Party starts making inroads, and this is what has happened recently. We've been getting 5% of the vote here and there. So all of a sudden we find political finance reform and all sorts of things to keep them in power. It's not about finance reform at all. In fact, I would put it to you that there should be no limits on anyone giving as much money as they want to a political party. They should be able to do that because there's already rules on spending. So if you had one guy who was a billionaire and he had a great idea that he thought that the Canadian public should go for, why shouldn't he be allowed to put that idea forth with all his money? He's still going to be subject to the same limits. But here's another issue about Bill 2 that people don't realize. You and I are being regulated, too, as individuals. And if somebody wants to spend $500 or more on an ad that would be deemed to be political, bear in mind, before it used to be called Elections Ontario, it needs to be called Politics Ontario now, because, no, seriously.
They're getting into the weeds.
They are
now,
literally changing the word elections through the whole act and changing it to politics. And it now applies between election periods. Anybody who pays for an opinion and that payment costs $500 or more the first time out, you have to register and you'll be treated like a political party, but you won't get tax credits, you'll have limits put on you, and you have to report from then on. Even if you don't run ads the following year, you got to send in a report saying you won't.
For a government that's saying it wants to increase voter engagement and transparency, what they're actually doing is they're bureaucratizing the whole process. So some they say it, I know that, and you and I both know that. Yeah. I'm trying to explain for listeners, though, so that someone that genuinely wants to get a community group together, spend a couple of $1,000s running ads, all of a sudden they can't do that without going through all of these other hoops.
Correct. And we don't even know what all the hoops are. They want to know what kind of people are coming to mm-hmm. your events. They want to know how much they're giving. How is the money being raised? What's being said? This is, in a word, fascism. And it's the control of private association, private thought, private expression, and of all places, at the political root. It doesn't get any worse than this, Andrew. And the way that they're disguising all this is through finance reform. Good heavens.
One thing that has always rubbed me the wrong way is the attack on corporate and union donations. And this is something that the federal conservatives actually did, one of the first things when they got into power, and now the provincial liberals are doing it as well. And the one thing that I've always found ridiculous is when you ban corporate donations, what you see is individuals that happen to share a corporate affiliation start to donate as individuals, and the money becomes a lot more difficult to track. I mean, well, we saw this with the liberals, where a bunch of Ernst & Young employees donate, the max each, and in actuality, in the name of eliminating corporate influence, you've actually made it difficult to even see where the money's coming
backwards.
From.
Here's something you need to know about Bill 2.
Okay.
Bill 2 will let you start a third party. A third party is not a party. It's you could call it a group, the Andrew Lawton group for whatever. And you can accept corporate and union donations for that third
party.
But
it's less transparent.
You're still going to have to report it mm-hmm. if you get more than so much money, but it's not less transparent. It's less transparent.
Yes.
You said, yeah, you're right. It is less transparent. Sorry. And so that's part of all of what this is. The only reason that political parties want income and revenue to be reported is not to keep the system honest. It's to spy on each other. I know this for a fact. I have to report anybody who gives me so much money over a certain amount within 10 days of their giving me the money, which is ridiculous.
No bookkeeping is done on a 10-day cycle.
No, and this is one of the things I objected to. And of course, they've never held anybody responsible for it. And I understand that over 25% of all the constituency associations, which, by the way, are another way that they're reorganizing the financing. A lot of the financing will now be done through CAs and not through the parties. And so
far that's more decentralized
in that sense. And that doesn't bother me one way or the other, because we were working that way in the first mm-hmm. place. But still, the limits are arbitrary. The whole thing is to keep the parties who are in the legislature there and make it much more difficult to displace them with the emergence of a new political movement or a new political party. That's what Bill 2 is all about.
I've got to take a quick break here. I'm joined by in-studio Bob Metz of the Freedom Party of Ontario. We'll talk more about this when we return in just a couple of moments. The Andrew Lawton Show here on 8. Welcome back to the program. This is the Andrew Lawton Show here on AM 980. We're talking about electoral financing and provincial politics, specifically Bill 2. And I'm joined by Freedom Party of Ontario President and CFO Bob Metz in studio. Bob, one thing that I've noticed is that the Freedom Party has often railed more against conservatives, the PC Party, than the Liberal Party. And I think people have, in a lot of ways, and not necessarily that this is the case, seen the Freedom Party is a place for disgruntled conservatives to go. But given that there is, I think, in a lot of ways, similarities between what you advance and what a lot of people on the right advance in the PC Party, why has there not been, in your view, movement on this idea from the PC Party on reforming electoral financing in some of the ways, maybe not all, but some of the ways that you're putting forth?
First of all, it's difficult for the progressive Conservative Party, let's be clear, in Ontario under Patrick Brown is no different than the Progressive Liberal Party or the Progressive New Democratic Party. Okay, they're all on the same page. They have the same agendas. They have the same interests. They have everything. Their policies are the same. The nuances are so minuscule as if to be irrelevant to the average voter. And why should Patrick Brown even want to object to this complete assault on democracy, since the PC Party is getting $4,091,895.43 retroactively in 2016 because of a Bill 2 that came into effect January 1st of this year?
Explain, because this has not gotten a lot of coverage. Explain how that's happening.
Well, what they did was, when they put the bill through, and it was so quiet. I knew about this when I addressed the committee originally last summer, but the media missed the message entirely.
They were focusing on cash for access.
Yeah, they were worried about these little pittance of $1,000 a dinner plate. I would love to charge. That's nothing. That doesn't influence anything. And instead, now taxpayers are forced to pay millions. And what they did, they just cleverly put in a per per vote subsidy, and they made it retroactive to the last election. Now, let me tell you something. If I had known the last election was going to be used this way, Freedom Party strategy in the last election would be very different. We would have fielded fake candidates in every single riding, just like the Green Party
just
did.
To get the vote total
just
up.
Just to get the vote total up, because now you guys got to pay us money just to vote for anybody. And that's an obscenity. Nobody should have to pay to vote. And the idea, you know, that they say, oh, it's a per vote count in NDP, they vote, that goes to the NDP. No, every taxpayer pays, even people who can't vote. This is not, it's not like you go into the poll
and
you
put
pay
a toonie in the jar
bucks.
And
yeah.
There's your...
And then
yeah.
You vote. No, it's based on the vote results. And of course, the Green Party got $630,000 out of it, the NDP $3,104,000, and the Liberal Party $5,055,000 plus. And that was retroactive. That's again this year. It goes up. The constituency associations all get an additional $3 million, and it's going to be prorated upward from here
but
on.
But this
in.
Is what I was saying earlier about how the government... It's essentially shifting the financing of election campaigns to the taxpayers away from donors, people that actually want to be involved in the political process financially.
Yeah, and it's political parties we're talking about here. We're not talking about the government. Okay, that's like anybody can start a political party. It's just it's an association. It doesn't even have a status outside of official registration. And official registration, all it does is qualify you for tax credits, which I would rather not have, and allow you to run in an election. Now, as far as I'm concerned, Elections Ontario has every right to regulate the rules of the elections, mm-hmm. to establish where all the polling booths are, things of that nature. But they don't have a right to tell people how they must campaign, who can be in their party, how much money they can give. You can set rules on the other end all you want, as long as everybody's on an equal thing. But this makes it completely unequal. It's not an even playing field at all. And basically, it closes the door to the democratic process.
You mentioned a comment earlier about proportional representation, proportionality, and what's interesting is that a lot of the times the people who do support that are people that are coming from political parties that don't have the representation in the legislature right now. And I'm curious, I mean, why you, who would conceivably stand to benefit from that system, have issues with it?
Because we're a principled party, and we know that in order to govern, one must be able to govern. And the Westminster system of parliamentary democracy is the greatest thing invented since the Enlightenment, along with the American Constitution. Those two things, those two systems of government, should be considered sacred. And the things that we've learned in terms of how that should be run, representation doesn't mean you have to have an absolute proportional vote. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not even what representation means. It's a complete misunderstanding of the term. And we do not have representatives. For example, we have MPs and MPPs. It's a different relationship. They are representatives of the Crown to us, and they represent we the people to the Crown. That's
sort They're of, conduits, basically.
Yeah, and that's how it should be. It's the only way you can have access to your government. And it's the only practical, pragmatic system that works is the convention of the political party. I'm not talking against political parties here. Please don't misunderstand that. They're absolutely essential. In fact, I'm trying to save them from themselves. Because one thing you don't want is proportional representation, because every political party becomes meaningless in such a term, except for the fact that the proportion's based on your affiliation with a party. And so that in itself kills the whole concept of what you're trying to do. Look, you've got X number of MPs or MPPs in the legislature or parliament. That's where it is. Under our current system, we can still vote for an MP or an MPP directly. Doesn't have to be a member of a party. And that's the way it should be. It should always be that way. And this that allows for new parties to come up. I'm not worried that, Freedom Party might benefit a bit from a proportional representation situation because people won't feel like they're throwing their vote away, mm-hmm. you know, that old saying, which is not something they ever do. Remember, you're voting for the governments that you have. If you don't like the governments that you have, stop voting for the political parties that are giving you the policies that you're getting. And that's the only change. Getting more people to vote will never change anything when you've only got two or three choices to vote for. You need more choices. That's as simple as that.
From the Freedom Party of Ontario, Bob Metz joining me in studio. Bob, great to have you here. Thanks so much for coming in today. Really great chatting with you.
It's been fun, Andrew.
It is certainly an interesting discussion because all of the outrage, the bad press, all of these different things that had a play, basically, had a stake in making the Liberals on the defensive so much that they put forward this legislation, those things are not actually dealt with by the legislation. And then you have the overzealous approach, which is that MPPs and MPs and all these things under what parties have advanced would not even be allowed to attend fundraisers for their own party. Well, why not? They're members, they're representatives of their party, but that is apparently the way we're going to make money in politics cleaner again. And like I said at the top of this interview, that is not the way to do it. I've always been an advocate of eliminating altogether contribution limits from the political process. The reason why? Money does not corrupt, it's power that corrupts. In any case, I have got to take a quick break here. When we come back in just a couple of moments, we'll have the final half hour of the Andrew Lawton Show for today. You're listening to London's breaking news leader, AM 980.